Do you pray for your wives to become saints? Wives, do you pray for your husbands to become saints? Do you pray the rosary specifically for them to become a saint? Do you receive Holy Communion specifically for them to become a saint? Whether or not your wife or your husband is holy does not matter at your judgment. It matters if you fought for them to be holy, if you sacrificed for them to be holy, if you fasted for them to be holy. Give yourself up like Christ loved the church. Die for your spouse. That is the way that you are going to become a saint. And at your judgment and at your spouse's judgment, then they will know how much you love them, because you prayed and you sacrificed and you bled. And then and only then can you be a good father and a good mother, because you have revealed to your children the meaning of life. Sister Lucia said that the final battle will be over marriage and the family. But it's not just over definitions. It's a battle that's happening within our own home. The title of this talk is How to Win the Culture War. We can't win the culture war if we're losing the war at home. If our own children do not keep the faith, how are going we impact the culture? If you know my testimony, you know that I grew up without a father. And that left a very deep wound in my soul, a wound that I am now even just discovering how deeply wounded that I am. When I was a child, I used to try to figure out what my purpose in life was. I would make up lies about who my father was. I would ask my mom what my name meant, why she named me my name, because I was trying to figure out who I was. I didn't have God in my life, but I realize now I was even worse off without a father, because the family is the image of the Trinity. And I learned something of God's natural revelation by looking at my father and my mother. But in a way, I had a great blessing by not having my father around. Because I did not have a father, I began to look at what would a good father be like. And then I recognized that I have a father wound, and I've been able to see that father wound because I was looking for it. And then I recognized the father wound is in all people, even with families where the father is present. Because the father is supposed to be the image of Christ in the family. And so in my journey to try and be a good father, because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. People would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know, but I really want to be a good father. So in my journey to strive to be a good father, I realized from the church, thanks be to God, we have Holy Mother Church, that in order for me to be a good father, I have to be a good husband. And St. Paul says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her holiness. It is my vocation. I will be judged on how I strived to get my wife to heaven. For a couple of years of my marriage, that wasn't on my mind. Thanks be to God, through praying the rosary, Our Lady communicated to me that grace, that I will be judged on whether or not I fought for my wife to become a saint. Do you pray for your wives to become saints? Wives, do you pray for your husbands to become saints? Do you pray the rosary specifically for them to become a saint? Do you receive Holy Communion specifically for them to become a saint? Because if you don't, you are failing at your vocation. Whether or not your wife or your husband is holy does not matter at your judgment. It matters if you fought for them to be holy, if you sacrificed for them to be holy, if you fasted for them to be holy. Give yourself up like Christ loved the church. Die for your spouse. And many women come to me because usually it's the husband who's not living the faith. And that's a tragedy. A husband not living his faith is like having a Catholic church and the priest doesn't offer the sacraments. The wife is like the religious sister who's trying to get the children of God to heaven, but there's nobody offering the sacrifice of the Mass. Is it possible for them to be saved? it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. And so this might be a depressing talk for those of you who don't have husbands in the family, but you need to see what a real man should be, or else you don't know how much you have to make up for his failures. So if you have a spouse that isn't living it and you don't know what to do, you die for your spouse. You're dying for your spouse by praying the rosary, by going to mass, by offering hours of adoration. That is the way that you are going to become a saint. And that is your cross. And it's a terrible cross, and I wish you didn't have it. But if you have it, that is God's will for you. And at your judgment and at your spouse's judgment, then they will know how much you loved them. Because you prayed and you sacrificed and you bled. And then and only then can you be a good father and a good mother, because you have revealed to your children the meaning of life. I recently did a testimonial interview. If you haven't watched my YouTube channel, you really got to get it together. We've got, and I say that in all honesty, we have some of the best videos that you will ever see anywhere online. The most recent testimony, it's a testimony of a woman named Omaria. She's a Nigerian woman. And her testimony is very simple, but it's very convicting and very stirring. And one of the first things that she said in it really struck me to the core. She said, "My father never prayed with us. And because of that, I believe that I gave myself over to men who did not have my best interests in mind." And that struck me because she had a father. But because he wasn't Christ for her, and for her family, she didn't know the meaning of her life. And so she tried to find her meaning and her purpose in other men through bad choices that she made. She called them situationships. But imagine a young girl who sees her father on his knees in the morning, sees his father on his knees at night, who makes frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, who fasts on certain days of the week for the sake of the family. "Dad, why aren't you eating?" "Because I'm fasting for you." And she sees that her dad only lives for her to go to heaven. Would she be likely to give her body over to a man who has no interest in her going to heaven? No, because a child deeply wants to know, what is the meaning of life? And so if you're not married, if you're a young woman, do not under any circumstance get married to somebody who is not a deeply convicted, practicing Catholic. Because the role of the husband is to get his children to heaven. And if he's not going to heaven, they sure as hell aren't going to follow after him. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Do not bind yourself to an unbeliever. It's not going to work. Please don't do that. It's better that you're single. Please, I beg of you. The power of a holy father in the family. Saint Pope John Paul II is only a saint, was only the pope, was only a priest because of the example of his father. He said that one morning he woke up really early, walked into his father's room, and saw him kneeling on the ground praying the rosary. And then another night he woke up in the middle of the night, saw a candle lit, walked into his father's room, saw him praying the rosary in the middle of the night. And on several occasions, he caught his father praying. And that taught him more about the meaning and purpose of life than any catechetical class. And any one of us can do that. Any one of us can do that. And it is awkward. It is awkward. When I first started praying the rosary early in the morning and late at night, I was self-conscious about what I would look like when my wife walked in and when my children walked in. And now I don't care what they think, because this is how I am going to get to heaven, regardless of what they think. Because at the end of the day, this is about me being faithful to grace in the present moment, in the present moment. And we're going to talk in a moment about the Eucharist and about Our Lady, because a man or a woman cannot live this without the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is pure love, is pure sacrifice. Without the Eucharist, you cannot be a sacrificial man or woman. You cannot give yourself up selflessly unless you're in the presence of He who is selfless love. But there's a couple of other things that we need to do to establish a culture in the family. In the family, I have to have a culture. The domestic church, many of you have been on pilgrimage. I've heard stories of your pilgrimages, and you talk about going to Italy and looking at these beautiful works of art. And they're beautiful. They're so beautiful that pagans walk into them. Atheists go to the Vatican because it's beautiful. And your house is the domestic church. Your house should be beautiful. Your house should have sacred art. Your house should look like a church, where you pray, where you worship God, where you gather together for a meal. Put an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. Put an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in your home. Put an image of St. Michael in your home, because there's a language in your house. And don't be afraid to spend big money. You spend $1,000 on a phone, spend a couple hundred bucks on some beautiful art. And I'm not saying that because I get 5% of all proceeds from this, the largest Catholic traveling store in the history of the Catholic Church. Be willing to spend a couple hundred dollars on good religious art. I'm friends with a couple of exorcists. I don't know how that actually happened. It goes to show the power of the media. I'm only here because of social media. But they talk about generational curses, cases of possession that were initiated because a family member was a Freemason, or because the father put a curse on the family, or even trying to do something. They tried to do something good through Santeria, but really they brought curses upon their family. Just as there are generational curses, there's also generational blessings. Parents have a powerful ability to bless their children on a daily basis. Even if your children have left the home and they're visiting you for Thanksgiving, say, get over here, you little pagan. Get over here. Get over here. You're not leaving yet. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. Let me kiss you. No, I don't want to kiss you. I want to pray for you. And you put your hand on their shoulder and you say a prayer in their name. I'm praying in your name. So there's an authority structure in the church. And as parents, you have authority over your children to bless them, to call down the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, to break ties that they might have made through infidelities to grace. You got to fight for them. And your blessing is very, very powerful. Your example is very, very powerful. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus would not be Saint Therese, and all of her sisters would not have been religious if it wasn't for the example of their mother and their father. Louis would take Saint Therese to Mass every single day. They would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to daily Mass. And when Saint Therese would see her father pray, she would say to herself, I wonder if that's what it looks like to see a saint pray. Children are looking to see the meaning and the purpose of their lives. We have to set that example. We have to bring them before Christ in the Eucharist. Our families must be Eucharistic centered. We have to convict our children that God has a plan for them, and He does. The difficulty with Christianity, and especially with Catholicism, because we have so many rituals, it's very easy for me to think, okay, I stay in the state of grace, that's my goal, get to heaven, and that's not a bad goal. You know, that's like, okay, that's nice. State of grace, that's a battle, that's a struggle. But that's not Christ's plan. Christ's desire is that I become like Christ, that I surrender my will for His plan and walk with Him on a daily basis and become a saint. So I have to be clear. When I say I want to become a saint, I want to become another Christ. A saint is somebody who is in union with Christ. And so I'm also very big on leadership and productivity. And in the leadership world, there's a saying, start with the end in mind. Every family should have a rule of life. What is the goal? If you want to be successful in business, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, if you want to lose weight, if you, whatever you want to do, what is the goal? Okay, let me make steps on how I'm going to accomplish that goal. My goal is I want to become a saint. I want to go to heaven. I want to have a high degree of glory for my children. What do I need to do that? My children have left the faith. I want them to get to heaven. Lord, what do I need to do to get them to heaven? I'm not talking about what do I need to tell them. Souls are saved by grace. Souls are saved by grace. Grace is obtained through prayer and through sacrifice. I need to come up with a rule of life. When am I going to pray? When am I going to take my children if I have them in the house? When are we going to go visit the Blessed Sacrament? When are we going to go to Mass? I have to pray about this. This is not something that I want you to go home and, okay, I think I want it, because that's kind of like what I said it sounded like. I need to make a plan. But you need to make all of these plans in consultation with the living God, who will speak to you about your condition. So you go into the tabernacle, the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. You go into your church and say, Lord, I have my little notepad. What should I do? And open your heart to what he might say to you. Our Lord is generous, but he's not willing to speak to those who are not willing to listen. These are all movements of the heart. God doesn't communicate here. He communicates here with tuggings of the soul. You have to be attentive to the movements of the heart. Have a pen and paper anytime you go to prayer. Anytime you go to prayer, you got to bring a pen and paper. Because I'm expecting him to reveal something to me. We call these consolations in prayer. You got to write them down. But everybody needs to have a rule of life that they can live by. In that rule of life, number one, should be a relationship with Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we have the same Jesus Christ who walked this earth 2,000 years ago. And how did he walk this earth 2,000 years ago? How did he break in? In the humble disguise of a baby, in humility. And how does he break in today? In the humble disguise of a little host. Only the humble catch him. And he wants to hide himself in you so that you receive him and are transformed into him. And then he can sneak into your work, and he can sneak into your school, and he can sneak into your family reunion. You go to him first, you receive him, you get the message from him. You need to live your life as if I'm here to carry out Christ's mission. But that means you need daily contact with Christ in the Eucharist. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. Give me all your excuses. I'm going to put them in the trash can. My grandmother, I love my grandmother. She was a feisty woman. But she couldn't breathe very well. And so she would wake up early and get on a breathing treatment before she did anything. And before she went to bed, she needed her breathing treatment. And sometimes in the middle of the day, she needed her breathing treatment. Why did she prioritize that breathing treatment? Because she couldn't live without it. Who are you that you're so prideful that you got a bunch of other things to do, but you can live without Christ? We need to prioritize to the best of our ability to strive. Maybe there's a day you can't. Maybe you've got a flight at 4:00 in the morning and you're landing in Alaska. Maybe, but I should desire to desire. If you don't desire to see Jesus every day, at least desire to desire. And if you already receive him every day, I have to refocus my attention. How am I visiting him? Am I visiting him with an open disposition to what he might want to say to me? What he might be asking me to do? Because when you do God's will, my brothers and sisters, that's the power of Christianity. We say, where are the miracles today? Okay, where are you doing God's will? St. Teresa of Avila, a doctor of the church, says, Christ has no hands and feet except for my own. And he will do the miracles that he did in the New Testament if I do his will. So important. And he will speak to you on a daily basis. It is a daily death. But all of the greatest saints, St. Faustina, if you read her diary, she would go to the Blessed Sacrament and complain about all of the problems that she was suffering from. And Jesus, in her case, sometimes would speak to her audibly, but in our case, will pull on our hearts and give us a certain understanding. The human heart is very powerful. If you remove the T, you have the word hear. If you remove the H, you have the word ear. You hear the voice of God in the center of your heart. St. John Paul II, his pontificate, yes, it was Totus Tuus Maria, but all the decisions of his life he made before the Blessed Sacrament. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, when he arrived in Ars, you know how many people showed up for Mass? Zero. When did the people begin to come? When he was on his knees before the Blessed Sacrament. Day after day, hour after hour. Some of you have children who have left the faith. You have the ability to bring them back, but it's going to cost you your life. It's an easy death because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. But make a priority to, on a daily basis, visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament every single day with an open heart. St. John Bosco said two things will happen if you do this. When you go before the Blessed Sacrament, ordinary men are turned into saints. Frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, according to St. John Bosco, will turn a sinful person into a saint. Why? Because you're in the presence of God. It would be an insult to God if you were not transformed by being in his presence. I'm a high school youth minister, and I deal with a lot of potheads. A lot of kids are on drugs. And we had this one surfer guy. He came in. He was like, dude, where are we going? I was like, the chapel. He's like, what do I do there? I was like, you just go in there and be quiet. Like he literally just showed up. We ain't got time to talk about it right now. Just go in there and be quiet. We were in there for about 30 minutes. He's like, dude, what's in there? I was like, God. He's like, dude, I felt so peaceful in there. I was like, yeah, because that's God. And then we had time to catechize him later. When you go before the Blessed Sacrament, the grace of God will work on you. It's kind of like, and it is, he is the sun, and your soul is like one of those glow-in-the-dark rosaries. When you spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, your soul begins to glow. St. John Bosco also said, do you want many blessings? Then go to the chapel often. Do you want few blessings? Then don't go to the chapel very often. Do you want to see miracles? Entrust all of your problems to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and remind him of those problems regularly, and you will see what miracles are. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, the best time you will spend on this earth is the time that you spend before the Blessed Sacrament. And take our children to the Blessed Sacrament if you have them. Grandparents whose children don't go to church anymore, volunteer to babysit those grandkids and take them to the chapel often. And then you will find that those grandkids will go home and plant the seed in mom and dad. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. My brothers and sisters, the living God is with us. And the secret is allow him to transform us. We go to him for his will, and then we come back for more information as often as possible. I give you my word, that will radicalize your whole family because you're bringing Jesus Christ in there. The second thing that all the great saints say, John Bosco had a great prophecy. He was known for prophetic visions, and he visualized the church being battered and beaten in the storms and the sea. And he said the church was anchored to two pillars, the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother is your secret weapon to saving your children and to keeping them Catholic. This is theology and not piety. This is science and not superstition. Mary always brings Jesus. Always. Wherever Mary is, according to St. Maximilian Kolbe, the Holy Spirit goes there. One of my best friends, Pope John Paul II, he's a good friend of mine. I have never met him while he was alive, but I sure talked to him a lot in death. He said, even the greatest programs of evangelization, if they do not have the Holy Spirit, are a dumpster fire. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. The greatest programs of evangelization that guarantee the power of the Holy Spirit are programs initiated by the Virgin Mary. Do you have a loved one who's away from the faith? Convince them to wear a brown scapular. Buy them a gift. Write them a note. Say, I know you're not going to church, but please, I love you. Wear this brown scapular. Wear this little baby, teeny tiny, petite gold and diamond miraculous medal, my daughter-in-law, who's leading my son astray with your Protestant ideology. Please just wear this little baby. It's so little and petite. But it's so beautiful. Wow, thank you so much. You get them to wear a miraculous medal or a brown scapular, They don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. Never was it known that anybody who called upon the name of Mary was ever left unaided. That's what St. Bernard, doctor of the church, says. Therefore, call upon her and don't stop calling upon her. Now, I would be a bad child of Mary if I didn't preach to you and promote to you the power of the Holy Rosary when tomorrow's the feast of the Holy Rosary in the month of the Rosary. I made friends with that Franciscan, Brother Charbel. He better watch out. If I see a religious, I might try to get you in one of my documentaries. And we're going to make a documentary together. I told him this last night at over dinner. He was like, what? I was like, yes, God is calling you, my friend. We're going to make a documentary about Padre Pio. Padre Pio, they say he prayed 36 rosaries a day. But I'm going to be honest with you, I think he cheated. Because he could bilocate, I think he was off in the corner praying two at once. That doesn't count, Padre. I better watch out, because he was known to slap people. So I better watch out. But Padre Pio said, the rosary is the prayer of those who are victorious over everyone and over everything. If you pray the rosary, you will not lose. The Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, October 7th, was originally called the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. Victory and praying of the rosary, those things are synonymous. Now, many people find the rosary monotonous and boring. I can sympathize with that. Praying the rosary does cause a certain death. It really does. But I give you my word. And this is the words of Sister Lucia, who saw the Virgin Mary at Fatima and still received visions afterwards. Sister Lucia said, there's no problem, no matter how difficult it is, that cannot be resolved by the prayer of the rosary. Whether temporal or even spiritual, Our Lady has given a new efficacy to the power of the rosary. If you're struggling, if you have something that you're worried about, if you feel like you're getting brick wall after brick wall and you're not getting your prayers answered by God, I give you my word, He's waiting for you to ask Him through Mary. Now, there's a great misconception about the Holy Rosary. Many people, and if you know me, you're like, oh, here he goes. He's making the sales pitch. I am. When the Virgin Mary originally gave the rosary to St. Dominic, the words she said were, preach my Psalter, in reference to the 150 Psalms. What we pray today is 50 Hail Marys. In the book, The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort was promoting praying 50 Hail Marys to children, 7 years old through 12 years old. To adults, he wanted to preach the Psalter, which is praying the rosary in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. And I know that's like, oh my gosh, the rosary is difficult enough as it is, brother. You're going to try and sell me sand and 3 pounds of it now? Yes. Our Lady made many promises to those who pray the full rosary. She made these promises to St. Dominic and to Blessed Alan and to many saints throughout the generations. The first promise she made, I promise you signal graces. I promise you signs from God. So when you pray this, because this thing is perfect, you have to understand, the Virgin Mary in the most recent Marian apparitions, at Lourdes she appeared 18 times with a rosary in her hand, and she only appeared after Bernadette began to pray the rosary. At Fatima, she told a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old, pray the rosary every day. At Akita, she told Sister Agnes Asagawa, the only arms that are going to be left for you is the sign left by my son and the prayer of the Holy Rosary. At Cabejo, these are all church-approved apparitions, she said, you have to pray the rosary. So Our Lady's a genius. So if this is from heaven, the ingredients must be perfect, and I might be misunderstanding them. So Christ wants us to be transformed into Him. And in order for that to happen, I have to die. I have to spiritually die, not physically. I have to spiritually die. I have to die to myself. And when I pull the rosary out and begin to pray, I do have a death. I don't like to do it. I look at it with let me do this first. Let me do that first. I've got to paint the fence. You know, that fence is looking awfully rotten. But when you pray it, you will notice, because you're saying the words of sacred scripture, "Our Father who art in heaven, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace," the Holy Spirit begins to stir up in you and you hear the voice of God. You will have your questions answered. Any question you have, why am I suffering? How should I talk to my child? What should I do about business? Any question you have, you ask the Blessed Mother by praying a rosary and you will know that answer. Children, young people, you have such profound power. God has a special plan for your life, a plan to prosper you and for you to be an effective agent of grace. You will only fulfill your vocation if you listen to God through the Mother of God, who loves you more than your own mother, who wants to communicate to you messages about what God's plan is for your life. Parents, one of the charisms of the Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent. When you're praying the rosary, you will get internal prophecies about your parenting, what you need to do differently in your life. I'll give you one prophecy I received when I was praying the rosary. I had a child. He was only four or five years old at the time. I was praying the rosary, and as I was praying the rosary, I had an internal mental picture. It's a horrible picture, but I'm going to tell you what it was. I had a mental picture in my mind of my son putting his mouth on the faucet of the bathtub and water going into his mouth and drowning him, and he was so bloated and blue. That was very troubling. If you could see that, that's very, very troubling. And I got this while praying the rosary. So I said, "Blessed Mother, what does this mean?" And automatically I understood. In an instant, I understood what it meant. I was allowing my son to look at YouTube kid videos unattended, because I thought they were just like YouTube kid videos. And the internet is like an open portal that can drown our children. And so that was Mary's way of warning me. Do not allow open access to the internet of your child. But she gave it to me in such a way that, because we know that. I know I shouldn't give my child a cell phone with the internet. I know that. Like, we all know that rationally, but we're stupid and we do it anyways. We're selfish with our time. But she gave it to me in such a way that it pricked my heart, and it just touched me in a way that from that moment on, I was very, 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 very cautious. So Our Lady too, in our own lives, she will warn us because she loves our kids more than us. They're her kids. They're her children. They're God's children. We've just been entrusted with them. And so all of this happens while you're praying those Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And it feels like you're not getting anything done. I'm saying pray the rosary to convert this person and that person, and don't talk to them about it necessarily unless God tells you. How is that going to help? Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary. How is repeating those words going to bring Christ into their life? It's very simple. How were the gates of hell taken down on earth when the angel Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace"? It is those words that brought Christ into the world. It is those words that called down the mercy of God the Father. It is those words that the Holy Spirit came down and touched the Virgin Mary and the Word became flesh. And it is those same words that will bring Christ on earth and will crush the head of the serpent. I don't care how bad it is. And the Virgin Mary said to Dominic when she gave him the rosary, "Dominic, my beloved son, don't you know that in this type of warfare, the battering ram for breaking down the gates of hell has been and always will be the angelic salutation, the cornerstone of the New Testament? The devil flees at those words. I don't care if you've got a million devils. You look at them and you say, 'Hail Mary, full of grace,' and you say it with confidence, they gone. She humiliates him. You will not lose." So that first promise of signal graces, you're praying the rosary for a question. You already know the answer in your heart by the time you're done with the rosary. Those signal graces are the power of God, serendipitous coincidences that confirm what you already know, that confirm something you've already discerned in your heart. The second promise of those who pray all of the mysteries of the rosary every day is special protection. One of my dear friends, I already mentioned him before, I name drop. I'm good friends with one of my best friends is Pope John Paul II. You know, have you heard of him? On the anniversary of the apparition of Fatima, May 13th. Apparition was on May 13th. On May 13th, John Paul II was shot at the exact same time as the apparition. That would be what I call a signal grace. The bullets went straight for his vital organs and somehow in the body barely grazed them. And he said, that's because although one finger pulled the trigger, another finger was guiding the bullets. Had he not been a devotee of Our Lady of Fatima and prayed the rosary every single day, he would have been dead. No doubt about it. That's what the prophecy of Fatima was. The Holy Father will be killed. But he wasn't. He had protection. And I'm not telling you that you're going to be protected from every bad thing that happens to you. But when you're praying the entire rosary, I can only make the promise for the entire rosary because that's the promise that Our Lady made. So if you have the habit of praying all the mysteries of the rosary every day and something bad happens to you or it's not going your way, it's because it's not God's will. A lot of times our battle with God is because we don't really want his will. People tell me that our Father is so hard, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's not that hard because I want to be forgiven. I forgive you. You're a jerk. I don't like you and I never want to see you again, but I forgive you. Is that good enough? Okay, good. The hardest part is thy will be done. When you've got cancer, thy will be done is a hard thing to say. When you're broke and you can't pay the bills, thy will be done is a hard thing to say. But if you stop fighting against his will and embrace his will, I give you my word, you will see great fruit out of it. That's what consecration means. I'm going to let go and I'm going to give it to you. The third promise of those who pray the rosary every day is I will destroy vice. Destroy vice. Those who are really committed to the rosary and won't go away, it's because they've been slaves to the devil. They've been slaves to the devil. They've been addicted to porn. They've been addicted to drugs. They've been addicted to alcohol. And they were freed by becoming slaves of Mary. The third promise of the rosary, she will destroy vice. So imagine being a slave to the devil. The Virgin Mary liberates you, and you're so free that Mary now uses you to free other people. Utter humiliation to Satan. Mary does not lose. Now, not everybody is going to go from zero rosaries to three rosaries or four rosaries. I'm not even suggesting that. I'm just setting goals to sacrifice, to look like Christ for the sake of your family and for the kingdom. Because we're losing. We're losing. There's a war and we're losing. Or at least it looks like it. And we can win. And you can go from victory to victory. In Our Lady of Victory, she never loses. St. Maximilian Kolbe says, do you want success? Union with the Immaculata. This is the secret that guarantees success. You consecrate your life to the Virgin Mary. You begin to live a rosary lifestyle. What happens is you hear the voice of God more firmly in prayer. You begin to do God's will. You begin to see fruit. And then you become a radical Marian. And people are like, that guy's a freak. That girl's a freak. Oh my gosh. But you know what? You'll be victorious. When I give my life to Mary, I give her my wife. I give her my kids. Now they're Mary's responsibility. I give her everything and she gives me everything. She's not outdone in generosity. I give her just a little bit. She gives me gold. Now, I'm going to give you 5 tips to pray the rosary. I have a challenge for you. Tomorrow's the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. October's the month of the Holy Rosary. This is your challenge. Starting tomorrow, throughout the month of October, pick one intention that is so special to you that you would die for it. Okay, I'm not asking you to die for it. I'm asking you to pray the rosary for it. If you don't pray the rosary at all, if you pray 0 rosaries, starting tomorrow for the month of October, try to pray 1 rosary a day. Just try your best. And when you find it difficult, guess what? You're not alone. It's difficult. Just get it done. If you pray one or two or three, try to do one more. If you have a child that you feel is on the highway to hell, and I have said something about praying all of the mysteries of the rosary, and your heart was like thumping, like maybe I should do that, try starting tomorrow, October the 7th, through the month of October, to pray all of the mysteries of the rosary. Just give it a try. But have a special intention, because we will do any what if we have a strong why. And what you will notice, and I've seen this success after success after success after success, your intention will be answered, or you'll have an interior conviction to keep going. But we need to develop the habit. The second tip to praying the rosary is always carry the rosary with you. Those guys from Nefarious were right. Texas is special, because in Texas, we open carry. Carry your rosary with you. Carry your weapon with you. Because to the devil, it's as if he sees you walking around with a pistol. And look at me, I've been waving this thing around. If you imagine going to the grocery store and somebody's open carrying, waving their gun around, you're like, I'm out. No more Walmart for us. This is your weapon. But to the Virgin Mary, it's a bouquet of roses. So tip number one, have an intention. Tip number two, always carry the rosary with you. Tip number three, don't be scrupulous. Do your best. At the mystery, try to imagine the baby Jesus, fat, chubby, little, cute little baby Jesus. I need money. I need money. You don't know anything about money. And then, this is the secret to prayer. After you tell fat baby Jesus that you need money, be quiet and see if baby Jesus tells you something. And he might. I trust you to hold me. Won't you trust me to hold you? Oh, that hurt, Jesus. Okay, I trust you. You're so cute. Try your best, but don't be scrupulous. The devil will say, that's not perfect. Quit. No, 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 no. My friend G.K. Chesterton, I never met him again. He would say, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Just get it done. Just get it done. The fourth tip I have for you, if you're going to pray more than one rosary, you don't have to do those jump on prayers more than once. The Apostles' Creed, if you prayed it more than once in a day, it might kill you. It's not going to kill you, but it can feel like it might. You're like, nah, I was going to do it, but that Apostles' Creed, nope, not doing it. Not hungry for that. You don't have to do the Apostles' Creed over and over and over again. As long as you do Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and you're meditating upon the life of Christ, according to Blessed Alan, as long as it's Christocentric, Our Fathers and Hail Marys, it will count. Our Lady's not a lawyer. The devil's a lawyer. Our Lady's a mother. And then the final tip I have for you, make a schedule. Many men especially, they're like, I don't got time for that. I got to be a good father. Don't you want me to be a good father and play with my kids? Wake up early, like Pope John Paul II's dad. Wake up early, get on your knees and pray. Pray a rosary on the way to work. Pray a rosary on the way home from work. Pray with your family. I'm a youth minister, and a lot of my children look like they're on the highway to hell. And when they begin to pray the rosary, their lives radically turn around. In the families that we have, where the children pray the rosary, even though they don't like it, the kids are good. The kids turn out okay. Because think about this. When you pray the rosary, what are you saying? Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. Pray for me now and at the hour of my death. So when your children don't want to do it, you make them do it. They're going to leave the church. Statistically, they're going to leave the church. So if you want to make sure that they don't go to hell, you make them say, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. And at the hour of their death, I give you my word, Our Lady doesn't lose. They might have forgotten her, but she does not forget them. Her heart burns on fire out of love for them. Let's conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to grow in holiness, to reflect on our faith. We ask that you travel with us back home, that you help us to love you more. We believe in your real presence. Help the parts of us that have disbelief. Help us to see your mother the way that you see her. Help us to love her the way that you love her. Blessed Virgin Mary, we surrender our lives to your sorrowful and immaculate heart. Help us to love Jesus the way that you love him. Help us to see him the way that you see him. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. This talk was given at a Fullness of Truth conference. Fullness of Truth has been putting on dynamic Catholic conferences for over 25 years. I have attended many of these myself. They have the best Catholic speakers and presenters. They have beautiful liturgies and an incredible gift shop. If you're looking for a spiritual renewal or a getaway, I encourage you to attend one of their conferences. Visit fullnessoftruth.org for more information and to see their upcoming schedule.